With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Right, yeah. How do you feel about me logging on to Amazon?
I'm absolutely terrified. This is the most terrified I've been before. Because you think, oh yeah, that's fine. And then I'm nervous, Tom. Be kind to me. I'm nervous.
I'm nervous because it's the first time we've done this show in the flesh for 2 years.
Oh yes, you've actually got to look me in the eye while you're looking at my purchase history.
But also, like, I often, you know, when I'm talking to people on the old Zooms, I drift off and have a little look and see what's next.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, they're monologuing and I'm just sort of like nodding along. But I've got to be genuinely, like, engaged.
Don't worry. I've got ADHD. I won't notice if you don't make eye contact. It's fine. We can search away and I can keep talking.
I, along with you and half the comedy circuit, have also been diagnosed with ADHD.
I've said this before, but I'm more surprised by comedians that can do this job who are neurotypical.
Don't have it. Yes.
Why would you?
Yes.
If you didn't have that compulsion to get the dopamine hit, why on earth would you be doing this?
Oh my God, we're going to talk about this.
Yeah, okay,
also,
cool.
Can I just say, I've just opened up Chrome on my laptop and I'm still in Tim Key's...
Great, let's go shopping. Let's go shopping. He's way more loaded than we are. Come on.
I mean, this is a weird hybrid episode. Let's just do Angela and Tom. Look at Tim Key's shopping haul. Oh, when I need a laugh, there's a helping people. But Tom Bass talking to these funny people. He's asking what they find in the town stories. Can somebody yell out the name of the show, please? It's my mate, Wolf Toaster. Oh, it's my mate, Wolf Toaster. Hello and welcome along. This is My Mate Bought a Toaster. My name's Tom Price and my guest today is the wonderful stand-up comedian Angela Barnes. Hello.
Hello, Tom Price.
Well, it's nice to see you in the flesh.
It's nice to be in the flesh with,
like,
other people.
Like here, like you can breathe in my COVID, I can breathe in your COVID.
Yeah, we're totally exchanging COVID. It's lovely.
That what we've just said is going to age really badly if we now both get COVID.
I have got a little bit of a cold, but I've done my lateral flow. I think it's just hay fever. We're all right. I think.
All lateral flowed up. Listen, Angela, you have a rich and varied Amazon purchase history and I'm just going to dive straight in, okay?
I'm so scared.
I'm coming in hot and I'm going straight to 2010.
Oh, right. Okay. I think that's sort of beginning of my Amazon life. I was quite a late adopter, I think.
Yeah, that's fairly late, to be fair. Where do we find you in 2010 in your life, first of all?
2010, I would have been living in Brighton, where I live now, but I've been in London in between.
I reckon you probably lived, I don't know, I'm going to say Ditchling Road.
That's
maybe
exactly where I lived. Yeah, okay, well done. Okay. I lived on Ditchling Road in Brighton. Yeah. So that means I would have been sharing a flat with my friend Ella and Claire, and I would have just started doing stand-up.
I love a flat share.
Yeah, I do and I don't. Like, they were great, and I did love it, but I wouldn't, like, I'm 45 now, I wouldn't want to get back.
Obviously, I love the idea of a flat share in my 20s or 30s, in a kind of Friends, Sex and the City vibes, maybe.
Yeah.
The real me, I need to live by myself. I can't even live with my wife now. I just need to be...
I've been in some bad flat shares, and then I lived on my own for a bit, and that's when I realised, you have the flatmate, you won't take the rubbish out, the flatmate won't clean the bathroom. You go, oh, it was me. Oh, right. You live on your own.
I'm going to leave a really passive-aggressive note for myself.
Yeah, exactly.
So the first thing you ever bought from Amazon, $5.99.
Oh, big spender.
14th of September 2010, Phone Direct, a replacement battery cover for the LG Pop GD510 Black.
Gee whiz. Wow. Big spender. That was a crap phone because I couldn't afford a decent phone in 2010.
Yeah, I mean, those LG phones, I think they've got better, but yeah, they were.
Oh my God. And I'd obviously smashed it, like dropped it and smashed it.
Mm-hmm. Not smashed it as in.
No, not
it.
Smashed it.
I smashed that, took the roof
you
off that phone.
You don't have that phone and you're smashing life, do you? Oh, wow.
So yeah, the replacement, but it's not even, this is how.
Cover.
This is how mundane this is. This isn't even like, oh, a new battery. Think of the extra battery life and we could talk about that. This is literally just a battery cover. It's a slice of plastic.
But that's the sort of thing I would have lost. Like, again, because I've got ADHD and I lose things all the time. And that's exactly the sort of thing I would have just looked at my phone one day and gone, well, the battery cover's gone. Yeah. Don't know where that is.
When did you have... So the ADHD thing, I've talked about it a bit before on the show. We've had a few guests on who've got it. I have now officially been diagnosed with it, which was an amazing moment. And the losing thing... I mean...
Well, people say to you... So I was officially diagnosed in May last year at the age of 44.
Wow.
And it made so much of my life make sense because I'd been misdiagnosed for a long time on the wrong medication. Just lots of things have happened.
What else
since.
Did they try and give you?
Everything.
You could talk-
oh, really? Yeah. I mean, I've been, you know, it's not very, but I've been treated for depression for a long time. At one point, I was treated for bipolar, I was on mood stabilizer, just crazy. Oh, my 20s, I was sort of in and out of hospital. I was a mess.
Angela, wow.
But yeah, ADHD has just made sense of all of it. Because I think the depression that I was treated for was just a... being frustrated with why I couldn't do things other people could do. Well, because I was forever being told, oh, you're so ditzy, you're so clumsy, you're so that, the other. And it would upset me so much because when people say that to you, they don't realise you're hearing that every single hour of every single
day. From loads of other people. Yeah, I know.
And you're like, whatever you say to me, do you think my brain's not saying the same thing constantly?
Yeah.
And it just grinds you down. Yes. And like, you know, when I talk about losing things, whatever, it's ADHD, people go, oh, that's not ADHD. I lose my keys. Yeah. Like, yeah, you don't do it every single day.
Well, several times a day. There's a weird thing, isn't there, about ADHD? Maybe it's about other conditions as well. But certain people in my life have been very keen to say, you haven't got that. Mm. What are you talking about? Because they have an image of hyperactivity, a child, climbing the bookshelves at school.
It's a naughty boy throwing the chair across the classroom.
Exactly. So, but when you start digging into it, and I think this is why it's become so common recently, is because people have dug into it and the complexities of it and gone, oh my God, but like, this is the thing I've wanted all my life, because I have had depression as well and I have had all this anxiety and I've always been sort of hunting around going, why is it? And I've done therapy and I've talked about the bad things that happened to me as a kid and stuff like that, but it never really solved it, because I'm always like, I'm at peace with all the stuff that happened to me. It's not that.
You know something's going on.
It's unlocking.
Yeah. And it's, and what I found as well, I think it's partly a gender thing as well, because it does express differently in women and in some men, that inattentive type. So it's the name is a sort of misnomer, really, because the hyperactivity, the way my psychiatrist described it was, your hyperactivity is internal. It's in your brain. And it's that, because I'd say it's like all the tabs are open all the time. I'm constantly opening tabs and never closing them. I can't stick a one, you know.
I can't even speak. I'm so, I'm just agreeing with you in my hands.
And because you don't know, no one has any way of knowing how other people, how their brains work, how they think, right? Yeah. So we all assume that we're all broadly similar in the way we process information. And so it looks like when somebody's not able to do something that you find simple, then they're either lazy or they're stupid or they're, you know, rather than thinking, well, maybe there's some mechanism in their brain that's different to mine, because we've got no way of seeing it, you know.
Yeah.
And so when you realise that your actual brain structure is different, you go, oh, okay, well, then that's okay. I don't mind being different if there's a reason for it.
The relief.
It was just feeling like a failure for my whole life.
And this is where the depression comes from, is because you are spending your whole time digging at yourself. And like you've so brilliantly said, a number of times people have a go at you about, and I can think of teachers, and my family, you are, you've got no concentration, you don't want to do anything, you're so easily bored, what are we going to do with you? You're stupid. Like all these things said to you again and again from all these different angles, you turn in on yourself.
You believe it. And you think, yeah, you're right, I'm a failure. I can't do what you, I don't know why. It's, and really, you've got no answer for it.
So this happened to you when you're 44. So how did you begin to rebuild? After
well, that's a hard thing. Originally, when I got the diagnosis, I was just euphoric.
Yes.
I was just like, this is a light. And when I actually started reading about things like executive dysfunction, because what I knew I wasn't was lazy. But I can also see how from the outside, I might look lazy. If I'm not doing the task, because it's not getting done. I'm leaving it to the last minute.
I asked you ages ago to do that all the time. Yeah.
And you know, everything getting done at the last minute. And I realised... it was not just, because if you're just lazy or you just don't care or you're feckless, then you watch telly and you don't care and it doesn't get done, so what? Whereas I would get myself in such a state about not having done it. And everyone would be, well, the simple answer is, you should have, why didn't you just do it then? And you're like, I don't know what's going on here, but something is, because there's a paralysis that happens. And instead of me doing the task, and it's a task I want to do, I've got time to do, I've got the ability to do, and for some reason I'm just not doing it.
It's a task I enjoy. I want to do it.
Yeah.
We all want me to do it, guys.
Yeah. But instead of doing it, I'm sitting there stressing about not doing it and getting myself in a state. You know, last year I ended up, I had a project I was working on that was really just not doing. And I ended up in hospital with chest pain. So you're a lazy person. That doesn't happen to a lazy, feckless person. They just don't care.
And we'll just go,
I haven't done it. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Whereas I want to please everybody, because part of the dopamine hit I like most is people telling me well done. People going,
you should really be a performer of some sort.
I should, right? I mean, it's amazing it took me to 33 to realise that. But that's the other thing as well. That's why I think comedians are drawn to this, because you get the dopamine hit from the performance.
Yes.
You get that instant reaction from people. You don't have to wait. It's not like acting where you have to wait a week later for the reviews to come out.
No. You know.
You know in the moment.
It's all instant gratification.
Yeah.
Yeah. And without, obviously we need to prep. And how many comics do we know who all say, I don't do enough prep, I don't write?
I know what you're talking about. just come in moaning about a gig I'm doing tonight that I'm prepped for.
I wish I was recording this. Angela just said she's doing a massive gig tonight with massive, massive comics, and she just said, I'll work out what I'm doing 10 minutes before. But that's okay, because what's happened there is you've brilliantly and very enthusiastically built yourself a career which allows you to do that.
Yeah, exactly. And no 2 days are the same. Mm. You know, you're working with different people. So you're getting that dopamine hit. Yeah. So when people go, oh God, every comedian thinks they have ADHD, I think, well, yeah, they probably have, because there's a reason you do. A secure person doesn't need to do what we do.
No.
It's mad. And yeah. How many times do you hear it when you're a stand-up comic? People say to you after a show, I couldn't do what you do. Yeah. And I think, well, I couldn't go to the same office every day. So no. Horses yeah. for courses,
yeah,
isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah, yeah. All this from a replacement
all
budget.
All that for a replacement wow. budget. What's the budget history of this jokester? Stay
tuned for my mate bought a toaster. All right, fine. Okay, good. Well, there we are. The first item is done, Angela. Mm. We're underway. We're into 2011 now.
Okay.
And loads and loads of books. The brilliant Jonathan Coe. I love Jonathan Coe.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
Dwarves of Death. I don't know that one, actually.
I can't really remember much. I love reading. I do buy more books than I read, because, again, it's that I'm an impulsive buyer. There's somebody told me about Umberto Eco's anti-library, so I've now forgiven myself about that.
I need to know about that now.
Yeah, everyone needs to know about that. So I'll get this a bit wrong, but it's okay. Basically the concept is that an intelligent person needs to surround themselves with books that they'll never read, yes. because they need to know there's things they don't know.
Oh, I love that.
Right?
Love
and that. So you can still, by just having those books around you, gives you comfort.
You don't want that Alexander the Great moment when he cries because he's conquered everything.
Yeah.
I want to feel dwarfed.
Yeah, that's
my
it.
Stuff.
Just go, okay, God. I'll never read all these books, but I know they're there and I know about them, and that's enough.
I have totally calculated now how many books I can read a year, and I've worked out how many books I've got in my house I haven't read and how many I've got on Kindle I haven't read.
You're going to have to live for 100 years.
Like, we're outside of... So someone tweeted me about this a couple of weeks ago. I think there's some sort of phrase which is a book pile beyond reasonable life expectancy. And I'm way beyond
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's where, I mean, what I, because I do love the feel of an actual book, and I have yes. a Kindle, whatever, for holidays and things, but I like the feel of an actual book. What I found myself doing recently is I'll buy the book, but I'll listen to the audio book, because I can do that when I'm driving.
Yes,
or when
of
you don't need to set aside that time.
Yeah.
And I think that's quite an ADHD thing as well, that I can then consume books, but while also doing something else.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
Yeah.
Many plates spinning, that's what we want.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Talking of spinning, the okay. Nog Frog Strobe LED front and rear light set.
That bike thing.
I think it's a bike thing. We're having
thing.
A bike chat.
Well, I'm not, I have, again, typical, but I sort of go through phases with my bike. Like, I have phases where I'll just cycle everywhere.
Brighton's very bikey though, isn't it?
Brighton's quite bikey, but it's also very hilly. And I'm not a fit woman. So my husband and I, we got married last year and we went on honeymoon and we went for a bike ride together, and he loves cycling. Like, he's a proper... you know, goes out for long bike rides with his friends. But we never go on bike rides together because, A, I don't like going up hills. I'll get off and push it.
Yeah.
And,
classic.
You know, I can't keep up with him. And then he just gets frustrated that he's got to wait for me. And it's just not a good thing. But on our honeymoon, it was so beautiful, the weather. And we were in Norfolk, right? Which is fairly flat.
Flat as, mate.
But still, I thought, we were hired bikes. So I thought, I'm going to hire an electric bike. Because I wanted to see what it felt like. And I thought, if in Brighton, that'd be ideal. Because then yes. we could go out together.
Yes.
And it was brilliant. I loved this electric bike. Like, because you are still pedaling. You're not, it doesn't just take you up the hills.
No, you've got to do a bit of work.
But you can
still,
you know, adjust how much power it gives you and stuff.
Yeah.
But when we hired it, I don't know, you might have to excuse my language on that. I don't know how, is that right? Because we came out of the hire place, got to the first set of traffic lights, and this bloke just shouted at me, bloody pussy. Because I'm on an electric bike. And presumably that, not, or he was warning me what the seat was going to do to me later. I don't know. But
also,
that's
good on Norfolk for using a derogatory term from good 20 years ago.
Yeah,
that
right.
That's really old school.
Yeah.
Come on.
So I was really embarrassed. I was really just like, oh, this is, I mean, I know I'm in Norfolk and I'm on an electric bike. I can see how this looks lazy. But, yeah. you know, and I really was like, just, oh. But anyway, we went on that bike ride. Really, and it wasn't until I got home later, I thought, he was in a car. He shouted that from a car, calling me lazy.
That's fantastic. Oh my God, I love that. The electric bikes are brilliant. It makes me feel like I'm 20, about as fit as I was when I was, actually, I was never that fit when I was 20. Like teens, you know what I mean? You just fit, you glide around, and I think, I want an electric bike. I basically want an electric exoskeleton.
Yeah,
everything.
No, just do everything. Take off all the hills.
And just do everything.
Well, it's so pronounced in my heart, because my husband's an ultra marathon runner, right?
Oh
so
God,
he.
Your husband, I can say this factually, your husband's well fit.
He is well fit.
Oof, he is fit.
But also, you know, I have to live with it. And it's he's
so ultra blisters, ultra stiff legs.
Oh yeah,
ultra...
all the chafed nipples, all of it.
The bleeding nipples.
Bleeding nipples. Lucky he's got a very hairy chest, which actually sort of cushions that area a little bit. Unless it rains, then he has problems.
Oh, it stings so much.
But he's just so he is really fit. So anything like that, any sort of physical activity we might want to do together, it's like he has to have some sort of handicap. Like he has to have, you know, have to cut one of his legs off or something. Right. So the electric bike thing was just perfect.
It's ideal.
It was great. So he just cycles up a hill without thinking about it. And I was able to do it right behind him.
There's a load of stuff about electric. I mean, basically, there's a theory that electric bikes are going to save the world because so many people who would have cars now using electric bikes to whiz around. Yeah. Also, there's loads of older people, especially, who, or maybe we fall into that category now, Angela, who use electric bikes to go like around the countryside and stuff like that. They would never be able to do. It's fantastic.
Well, my mum wants to get one. And she's in her 70s and she's a bike is a bit beyond her now, but
she's okay with being a bloody pussy. Is she?
She's like, fine with being a bloody pussy.
I don't like saying bloody pussy.
No, not do I. It feels very uncomfortable.
Oh God, I've not enjoyed
that is literally what you shouted.
All right, fine. So we've got some bike lights there. That's in 2011. Should we move on through then? Let's power on through to 2012 now. Oh, look, the number of orders you're making, that's cranking up here.
It's quite, I'm not proud of it because, you know.
Yeah, that's okay. Look, you've done 31.
But again, I'm going to keep using the ADHD, but Amazon is too enabling for someone with ADHD because you want something, you get it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Without having to leave your house.
My thumb is my ADHD enabler.
Yeah.
Scroll click.
Oh my God, the amount of stuff I've bought. In the first 2 weeks, that first lockdown, I'd bought boxing gloves, a sewing machine and roller boots. Like in 2 weeks. Because I need to do stuff.
You've just built in a little preview into the format of the show there. That's so great. So stay tuned for that, guys. But in the meantime, 27th of November 2012, Casio Women's Vibration Alarm Watch.
Oh, I've just got an ordinary Casio now.
But
when you start out with stand-up, you've got to have the vibrating watch so you know when your 10 minutes is up.
Mm-hmm. Very, very important indeed.
Oh, yeah.
I remember we all had the metal ones when we were first doing stand-up. They were Casio as well, I think.
Oh, yeah, the chunky Casio ones.
Yeah. Everyone had them.
Yeah.
Again, loads more books, a bit of P.G. Woodhouse, very nice indeed.
And wait until you get onto the... Because I'm pretty sure I'm on a register or a list somewhere because I buy a lot of... Particularly in the last few years because I do a history podcast. But I'm really into kind of Cold War stuff and nuclear bunkers. And I'm just at some point you're going to get to the year where you're like, okay, you just bought loads of stuff about the Stasi.
Oh, good.
Okay?
Well, we'll get into that again, making excuses for the fact that you are weird. But again, look, a year later, 30th of November 2013, almost exactly a year later, you've bought a Casio Women's Vibration.
Because I would have lost the last one. I probably bought another one in between.
On your list.
But this is it.
But isn't it nice to forgive yourself? You have permission to forgive yourself for all this now.
Because what happens, I lose jewellery all the time because I take it off without realising I'm doing something else and I've put it down.
So you have a go at your other half. I had a proper go at Beth the other day because I couldn't find the charger for this laptop, which I'm looking at right now with my eyes. Because earlier on that day, I'd put it in my suitcase and it wasn't in my backpack. And I said, you must have moved it because I can't have done it. But I just do things... Yeah. It's compulsion. Do you know what the best thing about this is? And forgive me, listeners, I may have talked about this before on the podcast. I genuinely can't remember. The best thing for me about this is having kids, and my eldest son, there's no doubt he's got it. Mm-hmm. That's happening. I can see it coming in. He's like me. And to be able to say to him, we went to see Hamilton a couple of weeks ago, and the second half especially was very difficult for him. Because you've had the war in the first half, you've had the revolution. Second half, it's a lot of admin. Exactly. Yeah, it's not happening in politics. And it goes on. It's brilliant, but it goes on. And he really struggled. Mm. And afterwards, I was furious with him. Because of the fucking, you know, because your anger at your kids is you're directly echoing the anger you had sent to you for the same things.
Yeah.
So I was just doing what my parents had done to me and I was ready to have a go at him and I stopped myself. This makes me sound like a great parent, but it's not about that. It's the fact that, because I know I've got ADHD and I know he's getting it as well. He has it as well because it's very, very...
And it's in families, no doubt about
families.
It.
I managed to say, I stopped myself and I said, you know what? You did really well in the second half because it's really hard for you because his brother was fine, who's younger than him, 3 years younger. Doesn't have it at all, clearly. I said, you did so well because your brother was fine, but you struggle with things like that and there's nothing wrong with that. And you did great. And I was like, I am the best.
Yeah.
I fixed the world, guys.
It's funny. One thing I've realised that suddenly made sense as well in my life is that I've never been a big film buff, right? I've never been into films. I've never been into going to the cinema.
Me neither.
Whereas I could sit and watch, you know, 4 hours worth of sitcoms back to back. No problem. Yeah. So I was like, it can't be a time thing because I can sit and watch, you know, an entire series of Parks and Rec without thinking about it. And I thought, because you're getting the resolution every 20 minutes rather than having to wait 2 hours for the resolution.
Yeah.
So you are getting that hit more often.
I've really struggled going back to watch films again. I watch them a lot with work, and to have to sit through the whole thing. In fact, I watched one yesterday, The Lost City. It's really good. And at the beginning of it, I was like, I had to really steel myself. I had to really have a word with myself. Like, you're going to be sitting in this chair for the next 2 hours. Put your phone off and like really kind of make myself sit in it. Whereas before I had this diagnosis, mm-hmm. I wouldn't have thought like that. And I'd have started to get fidgety and mad and had a go at myself and be like, why are you so fucking, why can't you concentrate? Like,
I find now my only way really, I tend not to go to the cinema because I do after an hour, I'm just counting like, how long is it going to be? How long is it going to be? How long is it going to be? And I'm not watching.
Yes.
Whereas I can watch a film at home now as long as I'm doing something else, like I'll crochet.
Yes.
Or I'll do something where I can watch the film. So I'm not on my phone scrolling.
Yes.
But if I'm doing something with my hands, keeping something busy, then I can do it.
It really works. M&M's almond and chocolate sharing bag. Three massive fucking sharing bags. 22nd of January.
What date was that?
22nd of January, 2013. Hang on. Two lots.
That was not for me. That was a guy I was dating at the time. Really liked the almond M&Ms. You couldn't get them anywhere. So I bought a load.
Along comes Amazon.
Yeah, along comes Amazon.
I see.
Yeah.
The almonds, you lured him in with almonds. Did you put them on the floor?
Follow me.
Leading to the boudoir.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And then we plow on through into 2014, Angela Barnes. Let's see what else. Again, loads of great books. The Adrian Mole.
Which are my absolute favourite books. And they're the only books I ever reread. I'm not a believer in rereading books because I think, well, like we said before, there's so many books to get through. Why read ones you've already done? But I'll make an exception sometimes if I just need a comfort read.
Yes,
pick up an Adrian Mole.
She's so funny.
Really sad because Adrian Mole was just a little bit older than me. So I feel like, you know, we grew up with him.
Mm.
And because the later books, obviously he's in his 30s and what he's doing is like, and I feel so sad that we'll never know what happened to him.
I know.
You know, I just...
And no one can extrapolate. You can't
No
have someone...
one else could do it. No. She was Adrian Mole. She was in this boy's head, you know, And yeah, it's such
weird that
sad
a woman wrote a boy so well. Not weird, but just interesting, notable, I suppose.
Yeah, because I think we often see it. I don't think many women try and write men.
No.
We often see men try and write women and get it horrifically wrong.
Yes.
But I think she really did get in the mind of a nerdy, working class boy, you know, has those struggles of being poor, but also being not wanting to be, you know, not into football, not into the lads thing. You know, this sort of, she got right into that. I definitely knew boys that were Adrian Moles.
But it was also way ahead of its time because being a cool nerd only became a thing in the noughties maybe or the early 10s.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Whereas this was cool and interesting and funny then in the 80s.
Absolutely. Amazing. I just loved it. And also you learn about history and on the way, you know, his mum goes to Greenham Common. In the first book, it's the Falklands War. It's, you know, all those things. So you're sort of learning...
Do you know what? Bollocks to you. I'm going to reread it.
Yeah, do it.
7th of March, 2014. Oh, one of my favourite authors. She has got a new book coming out this September. Life After Life.
Oh, Kay Atkinson.
There's a character in that called Teddy Edmund. And we named our second child Edmund after Teddy in that book. Love that book.
That book was incredible, just the way it was written. I am someone who, like, I will read a book and go, I really love that. And then instantly forget everything that was in the book. And then people say, same with films or anything. And then people go, have you read such and such? Okay, yeah, I've read that. They go, you know that bit where, and it looks like I've lied.
Yeah.
I haven't read it.
Oh my God.
I just go, I swear I have, but instantly it just goes.
It's like John in The Great Gatsby towards the end when he's, and I could have read it a month earlier and I'd be like, I don't know.
It's so frustrating.
Gone. I always look at people like, extreme example, but someone like Stephen Fry who just recounts, who can do word for word or, you know.
People who can do that with films, but I'm so jealous that they just read it and can remember the bits that really mean something to them. Because I'll come away going that, I remember how a book made me feel.
Yes.
And I remember that I had some emotions during it. But I won't be able to pinpoint exactly what happened a lot.
Interesting that we both fetishize books. I don't know if you do. I certainly fetishize books, and I'm surrounded by them. Because I think that because of the nature of my ADHD sieve brain, those are rungs on a ladder that I can cling onto. So they're little parcels of emotional memory. Maybe not literal memory, but I know how that book made me feel. And I can completely remember it, and I'll take it out and read a few pages, and then it'll come back.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not like I look around and I can instantly dive into all those books. I have to have a moment.
And also, I suppose it's sort of proof that you have read it to yourself. You go, have I read that?
Yes.
Have I read that? Yes, it's there.
Yes.
And it's been well thumbed. Gratification, I've read that one.
Gratification, validation.
Yeah.
DFT, know your traffic signs.
Oh, that'll be when I was learning to drive.
Bought on April Fool's Day. 2014, perfect, absolutely perfect.
Amazing.
How was learning to drive? Success?
So what year was that?
2014.
Okay, so I think I took some lessons in 2014, but then didn't... I know what happened. Typical, again.
Yeah.
I did my theory test in 2014 and passed it, and then never got around to sort of booking any lessons and stuff.
Yes.
And then suddenly I got an alert or something in 2016 that was like, you know, it expires after 2 years. So then I was like, I better learn to drive and pass my test, which I did in 2016. So it was all a bit of a rush before my theory test ran out.
Right. And then you did. So you passed in 2016.
I passed first time, yeah.
Again, I mean, coming to things, you started to stand up when you were 33.
Yeah.
You worked out you had ADHD when you were 44. You started driving when you were...
39. Yeah. Yeah, I might join the Brownies next year. But I do, I feel like, I always say that, you know, being unwell in my 20s sort of robbed me of a decade. And that's why I'm, you know, I feel so good for kids that are at school now, particularly young girls who won't just get fobbed off with they've got depression and given antidepressants and, you know, get told, as I got told many times, you just got to live with it. That's just what it is. I knew deep in my core something else was going on.
Yes.
And since my diagnosis, which was nearly a year ago, I haven't taken antidepressants for the first time since I was 18.
Wow.
Relapsed, and I've been absolutely fine.
And are you on ADHD medication?
I take ADHD meds.
Okay.
On quite a high dose, it turned out I needed. Yeah. But, well, and in fact, the slightly higher dose than I'm on is the one that really worked for me. But then my blood pressure went through the roof, so right. I had to come down a bit.
Because it's really interesting. It's a stimulant, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because
it feels counterintuitive.
Because the part of your brain that orders stuff is slow and needs to be stimulated.
And also it's because I think when you've got ADHD, like, say you're constantly looking for that dopamine hit. So if something's given it to you, you're not looking for it elsewhere. So you're able to focus on other things.
Also,
you know,
we must talk about other things apart from ADHD, but I love it. So I find it so interesting and also so comforting. This is ADHD therapy, guys.
Yeah.
So, but also in terms of friendships and making connections with people, my best friends... I don't have as many friends as a lot of people because I'm interrupty, and also I'm really, it appears that I'm really easily bored and I sort of will drift, and it's not a rudeness thing.
No.
It's because I'm the part of my brain that's hunting all the time.
We have an inability, people with ADHD have an inability to fake it. Like most, if you're neurotypical, something can be boring you, but you can fake it and we just can't.
No.
And without realising, like, I'll really try and fake it, and then without, suddenly I'm on my phone or I'm doing something and I don't even know it's happened.
And do you get the bit when your social batteries run out?
Oh, God, yeah.
That's a big thing, isn't
it? And the overwhelm is a big thing.
Tell me about the overwhelm.
So the overwhelm is where, and particularly I think it's very easy to look around in the jobs that we do, you know, when you work in entertainment or anything like that, because everything that everyone's doing is very public, right?
Mm.
So it's very easy to look around and go, how have these people had time to do all this stuff?
Mm.
You know, and then I think, well, maybe they're not dealing with whatever you're dealing with. For you know, executive dysfunction is one of the biggest problems I have, and so sometimes if I've got more than one thing in a day, or place I have to be, or it sounds like not if I've got more than one thing to do, I can cope with more than one thing to do. But if there's just different places I have to be and there's logistics involved, or I can just get overwhelmed sometimes.
And it's exhausting.
And I'm so tired.
Yeah.
And I just want to, like today I had, obviously I've come here to meet you and I've got a meeting with my agent and I've got this show tonight, but I had two phone calls this morning and I've got another phone call this afternoon.
Don't you feel exhausted?
And at 5 o'clock this morning I was up just going, just stressing about it. And you're like, other people just go, well, That's only what, six things in a day. That's fine. It's totally manageable. But for some reason, I just get overwhelmed really easily.
So how do you cope with career stuff then?
Sometimes I don't. And sometimes I just shut down. You know, and there's things I've had to walk away from. Really good things.
Yeah.
That I've just had to walk away from because I've gone, if I don't walk away. And that's one thing I've learned over the years, is that if you don't walk away, you're going to have a breakdown.
Mm.
And I can see the signs now. And I don't want to go back there.
No.
And no job is worth it.
Is this your way of leading up to leaving this podcast?
Yes, yeah.
Potato.
10th of April 2015, the underwater waterproof sports MP3 music player. Hello.
Well, I thought that was going to change my life.
Okay, one of those.
Because
this is one of those, right.
What it is, I love swimming. Right? Swimming's the only exercise I enjoy. Yeah. And I've tried so much, I'm just not an exercise person.
Yeah.
And what I think it is with swimming, and I've enjoyed it for years, I only really properly learnt to swim as an adult. Like, yeah. I was never afraid of the water, I just never had swimming lessons.
Right.
And so when in 2014, I went, right, I need to, because I just splashed about in the water, but I couldn't do a length, you know.
Yes.
So in 2014, I was like, right, I'm going to go and do some swimming lessons because this is silly because I like being in the water and it might be an exercise I like. And I just loved it. And I took to it and I just loved it. Wow. And
again, later on in life. But yeah. Good on you for it, because a lot of people this happens and they don't get around to doing this.
Well, I just, but you know what? Again, it was that praise thing. Because I had this brilliant teacher. It was up at the Crystal Palace Sports Centre there. I was living near there. Mm. And her name was Jill. And I just loved her. And so I would practice between the lessons because I wanted Jill to praise me. You know, so I would come back to my next lesson. She'd go, oh, you've really nailed that. But like, oh, thank you, Jill. And I was like, oh, God, I am that. I'm so annoying. Like, I must have been so annoying at school. I would have been the kid like going, oh, I know, ask me, I know, you know, that trick. So I learned to swim and I love swimming. And I realised that what I do, like, it's the only place I've relaxed. I can't do meditation or any of that. All that happens if I try to meditate is that little voice in my head is going, you can't even do this properly.
You're so
useless. Look at you. You're listening to me. You're not meditating.
It's a nightmare, yeah.
And I get more and more stressed. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, this is having the opposite effect. Whereas swimming, because I'm counting the lengths, that voice is busy counting.
Yes. And presumably that voice, because you weren't necessarily a strong swimmer, that voice is making sure you don't drown.
Yeah.
So shut up, voice. Keep me alive.
Yeah, exactly. And then I can just feel calm.
Mm.
And it's where I feel most calm in the water. But I thought, because the counting is a bit of a weird thing. I worry about it sometimes. And I've got to let go of it because it doesn't matter. Because my brain's always noisy, sometimes just to feel the gap, I just count. Like if I'm walking down the street, I just count.
Yeah.
And I don't really know why or what. And I might start from the middle. I might start at 6 and then just keep counting. And then I get to 100 and I go, what? You're doing it again. And I realise it's just because I just need constant thinking, you know.
Yeah.
So I thought maybe I'll try something other than counting in the water. Maybe I will try this thing and listen to like audiobooks or, you know, whatever on it. Yes. But the problem is, because when you're swimming, your head's coming in and out of the water.
Yes.
The sound... and it just annoyed me in the end, and I couldn't. Because I'm
46 quid, quite annoying.
Yeah,
move on.
Yeah, but that's the sort of thing I do all the time because I would have bought that just on a whim.
But this is what Amazon does on a whim for a swim.
Yeah.
But Amazon does this. We buy things on a whim and go
nah, and that's just sitting in a box now somewhere. You know, like never to be used again.
It's really interesting what you're saying about the walking along thing. I have that as well. Not the counting, but like I will
or song lyrics or just something.
I just the voices makes the sound crackers, but that sort of I walked to here the other day from the tube and I had 7 minutes by myself, and by the time I got here I was miserable.
Yeah.
So I just talked to myself in some awful corner, and I got here and I was like, hey guys, how's it going? And I was like, why am I being... But I get it all the time when I go and do jobs or something. If I'm in the car on the way there, on the tube, by the time I arrive, I'm miserable.
Well, that's why I don't like being left alone with my thoughts.
No.
And that's where, for me, podcasts and audiobooks have been amazing.
Hey guys.
But honestly, you know...
No, completely.
Because when I was younger, all we had was Walkman or a CD Walkman. You could listen to music, but then I could still think if I'm listening to music. Whereas if I'm concentrating on a narrative...
Yes, I know. It's incredibly
calming.
It
just really helps me relax.
This is good. 4th of July 2015. The last person who bought this, I believe, was Lucy Porter on a early edition of My Mate Bought a Toaster. The Fox Hunter globe-shaped minibar drinks cabinet retro-style host trolley!
So I bought that for my now husband's 40th birthday.
Oh, it's a... good present.
But at that point, how long have we been together then? Not about a year.
Yeah.
So we weren't living together then.
Right.
And I bought him that, of course, not thinking that one day we might live together and I'd have to have that thing in my house. But I do love it, actually. I do secretly love it. But yeah, so
it sort of makes
drink.
You look like you're in a club at the beginning of 80 Days Around the World.
Exactly. Well, you see, my husband loves whiskey. Like, he's a proper whiskey.
Oh, really?
Sort of connoisseur. And I thought it'd be really funny to put all his posh whiskey that he loves in a really naff.
It's beautifully naff. I absolutely love it.
I do love it. It's in my living room. I've grown to love it.
Great reviews here. Barry Gunn's been on. Very good product. I got this for a gift for my wife. She's always wanted one. She has not seen it yet, Well, I hope she hasn't listened to the podcast.
Spoiler.
It's very quick and easy to assemble. All you need is a flathead screwdriver. Took me less than 10 minutes to assemble. Looks very nice and it is functional. I read some reviews about the inside painting not matching up. However, my one was fine. I recommend this product. Thanks, Barry.
Then I had to take it on the bus. I remember that to his house.
Are you serious? So
because I thought, well, I didn't want to give it to him as a flat pack because then it'd be like, well, what's that? And at the time, I was living in Crystal Palace and he was living in Haringey. Right? So it's quite a trek across, so that's North London. It's quite a trek across London. Yeah. And so I thought, well, I'll make it up and then I'll just, and then I was like, oh, now I've got to take it on the train and the bus and this, with just this drink stove. I must have looked like a right idiot.
This is, you know, wait for the review. I saw this because a woman on a bus had it. Mrs. V. Lawrence, 1 star. It does look nice. The problem is it does not fit any standard size glasses that I have.
Oh, well, you just change your glasses.
Change your glasses, Mrs. Come V. Lawrence. On.
We use Ruin it for, it. We put in, you know, the booze you buy on holiday or people buy you when they go on holiday that you never actually drink. That's what we've got in ours. Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. Putting that into deep cryogenic storage. That looks lovely. Thank you so much.
That banana liqueur that Michael Fabry bought me in 2009. That's still in there.
Oh, I love Michael Fabry. I must get him on this.
Oh, do.
Very good stand-up comic, Michael Fabry. What else have we got here? A lovely Goodman's 1960s vintage style digital and FM radio. Again, silencing the noises.
Yep, absolutely.
RJM ladies chunky knit Rudolph reindeer slipper socks.
Okay, so that's my Christmas thing. So I'm a bit of a Christmas nut because my dad was. My dad's house would just look like Christmas had vomited on it. And all the tacky stuff, I just loved it. And he died very suddenly in 2008 and he was only 60.
Oh, sorry.
And for the first couple of years, I just didn't want Christmas in my life at all. Like, I just couldn't countenance Christmas without him and without the silly things he would do. And what he would do, because we never had much money growing up, you know, but what he would do, he would buy you really silly things. But it'd be funny. So you'd get different little presents and you'd get, like, once I was over 18, you'd get like a bottle of booze of some description and it'd be like from Santa Claus written on it, like it was pissed. You know? And you'd get a present from Frosty the Snowman, you'd get a present from the Sugar Plum Fairy.
Oh.
And then you'd get a present from, because my dad ran a sex shop for a living. So when you're old enough, you get a present from Sexy Santa, right? Which would be like some chocolate nipples or penis pasta or something. Like, it wasn't buying me a dildo for Christmas. It wasn't that.
No, that would feel wrong.
Just something a bit cheap.
Yeah.
And he just loved, just thinking about all these little things. And a load of it was tapped. It didn't matter. And it was just glorious fun being around my dad at Christmas.
Yeah.
And so about the first couple of years, I just couldn't face any of it. And then I was like, right, I think the only answer is you take over the mantle. Like, you just have to now
go
do
in,
that.
Double down.
Go in, double down on this.
Yeah.
You know, if he's not going to do it, you've got to do it. And so whoever happens to be, we happen to have Christmas with, we'll get all those little presents from, you know, Santa and Santa Claus and all the Sugar Plum Fairy and everything.
Good.
But one of the things I love doing is on Christmas Eve, everyone gets a pair of slipper socks or slippers. That they can then put on Christmas Eve.
Oh, good.
And have them. That's just a little tradition that I've kind of, my
so
little
nice.
Thing. I do want it all to be my
You're
dad's.
Adding to what your dad's given you, though.
Yeah.
And that's what he would love, right? That's the thing you always have to remember, how much they'd love it.
Exactly. So, everyone gets, sometimes I'll knit them or crochet them if I've got time, but usually I'll buy them.
Part of the beauty of Christmas is the melancholy that comes with it. Passing time, people who are no longer there with you. But also, I like that you have to double down, you have to dig into that and lean in hard into it and go for it and do what your past relatives did. Add new stuff for you. You must have, does your dad run a sex shop? Does that mean every time you go into Anne Summers, you're like, oh, it reminds me of Daddy.
Oh, Daddy.
When did you first become aware that your dad ran a sex shop?
Well, he didn't. So for comedy purposes, I've talked about it as if he had the sex shop when I was a kid.
Right,
that's
of course.
Quite funny.
Yeah, it's a good 10 minutes in that.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. Having to do a stock take with your dad, you know, whatever. Or take your daughter to work day, all that sort of stuff. But the truth is, he didn't actually do that till I was an adult. Well, a young adult, late teens, I think.
Right.
Which all it actually meant was suddenly I had a lot of friends that were guys. Suddenly started hanging around. This was in the sort of early 2000s, maybe late 90s. So it's before streaming services.
Yeah.
So, porn was expensive from a sex shop. You know, DVDs were expensive, but the markup was insane. They'd buy the DVDs in for like a quid and sell them for 50.
Oh my God.
So to my friends, it was like dirty supermarket sweep. My dad would just go, oh, just help yourself to whatever you want. So I'd take friends to the shop, and the shop was, it wasn't a classy one. You mentioned Anne Summers. It was in Great Yarmouth.
Right? Okay.
It was, and it had like a door at the back by the car park if you didn't want to be seen going in the front. You could go.
Wow.
Like, it was pretty.
That's good. And
it
to
was
know.
It Useful. Was kind of, it was a lot of during the summer, it was a lot of holidaymakers, hemp parties, that sort of people going. Yeah. In the winter, it was a bleak place.
Oh.
And my dad used to be open till 8 o'clock on a Saturday.
Yeah.
And quite often the customers would be in the winter, they'd be turkey pluckers from Bernard Matthews, right? She had to be, and they're these guys that are like seasonal workers. They come down, they're on their own, they're staying in shitty bedsits or B&Bs or whatever.
They want to watch filth.
They want to watch filth. And so they'd all be in there, and I like you'd go in the shop on a Saturday evening, they'll all just be standing. My dad would have made them all a cup of tea.
Oh.
While they're, you know, just sort of
browsing.
Browsing, swapping the, you know, that was good. That was, and it was just, it was mad. Oh, it was a bit mad. But it was a little bit bleak, you know. And sometimes, like, I never worked in the shop, but sometimes my dad might go, oh, can you just hold the fort? I'm going to nip out and get a cup of tea or, what, you know, go and do something.
And then someone browsing would be like, excuse me, have you got any anal gangbangs?
Well, what would you see? Like, particularly, there was a certain, like, Hindus, whatever, was fine, but a guy would come in, see me, and then just turn around and go out again.
Oh.
Like, oh, no, that's not Derek with my dad. That's not Derek. I can't talk to an actual lady.
Yes,
you know, and we'd just not be able to deal with it.
Oh my God.
It was a fun play, you know, and I had a lot of fun taking friends there and stuff, but it was bleak as well.
Yes. It does make me think I should do a My Mate Bought a Toaster version with your pawn shop receipt.
Yeah.
Something to think about for the future. Look, as we idly browse through your Amazon purchase history, Angela, we're nearly running out of time actually, which is annoying.
Oh.
I'm going to just do something, right, which I always enjoy doing, which is just to check out what happens.
I'm really scared.
Yeah. Check out what happens around lockdown, right? So 2018, how many orders do you think you've bought in a year? 2018, have a quick guess.
I honestly wouldn't know a ballpark.
127.
Oh, that's a lot, isn't it?
Over the year. 2019.
Go on.
188.
Okay.
2020.
Go on.
367.
That's more than one a day.
That is more than one a day.
Oh my God.
That is.
I've got a problem, Tom.
I can't remember. Avid listeners will be able to tell me. Alex Zane holds the record, but it's there or thereabouts because it was around one a day. So I think you might be up there with Alex Zane. And that is, I have now done over 100 episodes of this. And I always check.
I hope my husband doesn't listen to this. I just, in my defence, I don't know if I've mentioned this, I've got ADHD.
Also, you've got ADHD during a lockdown.
During a lockdown. And I do, one thing I do with Amazon is I send things to other people that I think they might like.
Yeah.
I'm quite good at doing that. My husband, bless him, in his speech at our wedding, because, you know, like, it's not a thing I ever really thought about myself or knew about myself, but I do love buying things, like presents for other people. And they're not expensive, but just, you know, that shows you're thinking of them or that you're...
Yes.
And that's definitely a thing I got from my dad as well. And
just
and
like chocolate nipples.
Like chocolate nipples or whatever. But just kind of things to let you know. Like, for example, my husband got COVID while I was on holiday. So I sent him a little, you know, basket of like a little care package.
Why are we on holiday without your husband? That's interesting.
Oh, well, not, we don't always go on holiday separately. But
yeah,
he
that's
was
nice.
Going,
that's good.
Yeah, well, yeah. He was going snowboarding, which I've got absolutely no desire to do.
Mm.
And so I said to my friend, well, he's going snowboarding, should we go to Lanzarote? So we did that. And I went to Lanzarote with some friends, but I went for a bit longer than he did. So he came back sort of while I was still away.
Yeah.
The day later, he tested positive for COVID.
Yeah.
So I stayed in Lanzarote a bit longer and then came back and went to stay. Because I had a corporate after I got back. I couldn't risk getting it and like a well-paid gig.
When you're on the phone, there must have been a moment. When you're on the phone, oh gosh, okay, I hope you're all right. Love you. And you must have put the phone down in Lanzarote and thought, get another couple of days ahead. There must have been a moment.
It didn't occur to me. So at first I thought, right, so he told me I've got COVID and I was like, right, I can't come home because I can't afford to get it now because I had this really well-paid gig.
Can't miss out on a corporate. And just, you know, so you know, guys, if you're a stand-up and you get a corporate, they're usually like five or six times what you earn in a month.
Yeah.
In
and particularly after the year we've had, you know, and a wedding to pay for, I couldn't miss this corporate.
Yes.
So I was thinking, well, maybe when I get back, I'll just have to go and stay at my mum's. Now, I love my mum dearly, but she lives in a one-bedroom flat. And 10 days with my mum in a one-bedroom flat, one of us is going to die. Right? I don't know which, but one of us is.
So great format. Great TV format.
Yeah. So I thought maybe I'll just have to stay in a hotel. So I was looking for cheap hotels and stuff. And then I just had this thought. I was like, I wonder if how much it would cost to just stay in this hotel.
Move the flight.
But I mean, and move the flight.
Yeah.
And I looked into it, and I'm not kidding, it was about £100 cheaper to do that than to stay in the Premier Inn at Gatwick.
Wow.
For the extra 3 nights.
Move to Lanzarote, guys.
Right? So I did that. So my friends went home on the Sunday and I stayed till the Wednesday. But the smugness was wiped off my face a bit quickly because what actually happened was my friends left and I thought, because it was really nice being with my friends, but I did think like I'd have 3 days just on my own. So you've got no one, you know, no time. You have to be anywhere to meet.
How are you with your own company?
No. Well, I have audiobooks and things. I thought I'll be all right.
Yeah.
But what happened was the hotel, it was February as well, so the hotel was just empty.
Oh, weird.
So, you know, it's quite like swimming and stuff. It's great. And then what happened was my they left. And what I didn't realise, the week I was going into was half term.
Oh.
So the hotel just filled with families with kids. Now, look, obviously families with kids get to go on holiday. But I tend to book mine at a different time, you know. And so these pools, I thought, I'm going to have the pool to myself. It was just full of inflatables. I basically had to go up a volcano to sort of get some quiet.
So again, equally, there must have been a moment when you walked outside. Just looked up. What the?
Oh, no. This wasn't the plan. Yeah. Oh, changed my mind.
Wonderful. I'm glad you've had to suffer like us parents have. Half-term holidaying is the absolute worst. It costs a fortune and it's awful. Listen, 2020, end of 2020. I just want to pick up on this because I'm obsessed with this guy. It's a writer called Philip Kerr who writes the Bernie Gunther novels. They're so fantastic and you just smashed them.
Right, I'll tell you why. Because I'm mentioning Michael Fabry again, but he's a very good friend of mine.
Yes.
He bought me one of the books. And but for some reason he bought me one that was like in the middle of a series.
Yeah.
So I thought, right, I better just buy the others and then and I still haven't read them.
Oh my god, they're amazing.
I will get round to them.
Amazing. So set in Germany, actually set around all around the place, but it's about a detective during the 1930s and 40s. So and they do jump around. So some are set in 1950, and some are set in like 1933. And it's what a writer. Okay, so I'm going to interrupt the podcast now. This is a Mummy Bought a Toaster first. It's Tom here, and I'm just editing the podcast, listening back to it, and taking out all the bits where I'm rubbish. It takes a long time. Hope you're enjoying it. We're nearly there. We're nearly at the end. But I just wanted to jump in and say, can you spot the moment where the room booking runs out? Because this is the problem about doing podcasts in the flesh, is that you need to be in a physical space and you can't have the physical space forever. And sometimes someone else wants to come in and, I don't know, for example, have a Zoom call when you're interviewing the brilliant Angela Barnes about her Amazon purchase history. Anyway, see if you can spot the moment that happens.
Like area of sort of nerdiness, if you like. It's a bit weird.
Yeah.
But like German history is my thing. So
I
speak reasonable German, but I Cold War history as well, but particularly like the history of the GDR, but also pre-World War II Germany. Yeah, I just find it all pretty fascinating. Hi.
I think I've got
three. Yeah. Okay, I'll be 2 minutes. Thanks.
Bugger.
Oh, that's really annoying. I hope you had that, guys.
Yeah. The end.
Thanks for listening, guys. Sorry, I don't know what the 5 minutes happened. Yeah, so go on. So how come you went... So go on, pick up.
So I've just got this sort of fascination with that part of... I think the Berlin Wall came down on my 13th birthday and I was learning German at school. Mm. My German teacher was really sort of telling us all about it and I just found it all fascinating.
Yeah.
And then as I've got older, sort of, reading a bit more into history, and because I never did history at school, but I now co-host a history podcast.
Which is called? Big plug.
It's called We Are History, which is me and John O'Farrell.
Amazing.
And
John O'Farrell is one of the funniest writers.
I love John O'Farrell. So I keep calling him my father figure, which he doesn't like because he's only 15 years older than me. But he's just brilliant. And we have so much fun doing it. And it's just, it's basically, what people describe it, it's like two history nerd mates in a pub talking about a thing that's a book they've read that's really interested them or whatever. So, but that, for me, the sort of Cold War era is the era that really floats my boat.
Okay, good.
Lots about.
All right, good. So I have to be very quick now because you may have heard that, dear listener. The room booking, I'm going to keep that in. The room booking has come to an end. Me and Angela, much as we would like to carry on talking, we've got to wrap
up
now. But I'm going to do two more items. We're going to do it super quick.
Okay, cool.
We're going to see, let's see how much we can push it.
Ooh.
The podcast will just end when the guy knocks on the door again, okay? So 11th of January, 2020, I do want to know about this, the dog agility training tunnel.
Right, okay. So I've got a dog, little
good.
Tina.
I should hope so, otherwise this is not good for your husband.
And she had to have an operation in January, 2020, which meant she wasn't allowed to, she loves playing. Like she's all about fetch the ball and playing with her frisbees and she loves being outdoors and playing.
Yeah.
But she had this operation, which meant that for 10 days she wasn't allowed to go out and play.
Oh,
and so we bought this dog agility tunnel, which we put down our hallway. So it was just so she had some sort of stimulation,
something
some game,
to do. Otherwise, they go nuts. They go nuts.
Otherwise, she would go nuts. So, and then after that 10 days, that went in the cupboard and has stayed there.
Yeah, never been seen again. The amount of plastic we buy on Amazon for one use and then into a cupboard.
Oh, it's so bad.
Okay, fine. Look, I mean, this is my God, Angela, I'm so cross. We should have done 2020 first. We're going to have to do a sequel with you. Look, we've got the women's retro 50s halter neck rockabilly party evening dress.
Yep.
I mean, that's just amazing.
I think that was for a photo shoot. I think I was...
Okay. There's absolutely loads. What I'm going to do to finish off, I'm going to go to the latest order you've made, right?
Gosh,
so we're going to 2022. I mean, that's a good question.
Okay. I think this might be either Mother's Day or John O'Farrell's 60th birthday present.
Okay. Yes, basically. And let's work out which is which.
Okay.
So we've got the cocoa-dusted truffles and the Southern Comfort whiskey.
That's Mama.
Fantastic. And also, I mean, again, this points to what we've been talking about. Deutsche Demokratische Republik. This is a book, DDR Held der Arbeit.
Oh, that's a noble. Okay, Held der Arbeit, that was part of John's present. So that Held der Arbeit is an award that the East German government gave out. It means hero of labour.
Oh.
So I bought John that with that on it as a part of his birthday present.
Oh, very nice indeed.
As a notebook. Yeah,
oh my God, I love it. All right, I must listen to that podcast. What's it called? The Rest is History or We Are History?
We Are History.
We Are History. Very, very good indeed. Angela Barnes, you're absolutely brilliant. Are you on tour soon? Do you want
to I'll be on
plug?
Tour in the autumn. So just go to my website, sign up to the mailing list, and you'll get notified when the tickets go on sale. Listen to the podcast. I'll be doing Edinburgh Fringe.
Yes. Edinburgh Fringe again, that's exciting. And have you got a room booking for 3 o'clock? Yeah, is that you?
Yeah, that's right, that's me.
Cool,
so
cool,
if you could just get out so I can get on with it, that'd be
I'm going to leave the mics on and record their meeting, guys, and release that extra on patreon.com/toasterpod. It's my mate, toaster. Oh, it's my mate. Well, that feels like the most apt place to leave Toasterpod Series 5. Don't you think? There's something beautifully poorly organised about a room booking expiring. When did Series 5 end? When the room booking ran out. And if that's not poetry, I don't know what is. Listen, guys, thank you so much. That's my wife texting me that dinner's ready. Which, to be fair, is an equally good way to end Series 5 of my mate bought a toaster. Oh, come on, guys, we're having fajitas. I need to get those eaten. So, listen, that's it. That's a wrap. We're having fajitas. It's literally a wrap. Oh, I'm so happy with that. Oh, honestly. That could be the best joke I've made this series. Thanks, guys. Every time you get in touch saying you enjoyed the show, every time you retweet it, every time you review it, every time you give it the 5 stars, all that stuff drives people to the show. So thank you if you found time to do that. Thank you if you've supported us on patreon.com/toasterpod. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to start dropping the next series, so stick around. There are new episodes incoming. I've got some fabulous guests already booked, which I'm very, very excited. And I'm definitely not going to tell you who's coming on next series. Scroobius Pip! I'm not going to do that. So next week, there's going to be a best of. Yeah. And the week after that, we're going to do another best of as well. So we're not going very far. Best of's on the way. Then a couple of weeks off. And then we'll have series 6. That is it. Shall I roll some credits? Credits rolling for series 5 of My Mate Bought a Toaster. Thank you to all my wonderful guests. Goodbye. Ooh, my mate bought a toaster. Been so far, my mate bought a toaster.